Well, praise the Lord. Stay here for 2 weeks.
Amen. Amen.
And so far this week, we've gone 6 steps. We're walking in prosperity. This morning, we find a step. Before I go into that, what's the first step?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First thing we should do each and every morning. When you God first in the morning, when you first get up, it makes it a lot easier to keep you first in the whole day. I try to get on a merry-go-round. Once it's gotten started, it's hard to get on it, especially if it's going fast. You have to take it to throw you off. You get on it, you've got to stand it still before it has a chance to get moving. It's not like life. They start moving today, you forget. But if you start off with the first thing, believe the Lord first, a lot easier to keep it first. Right? Step two. If you get feet firmly on the foundation, and firmly on your faith. We are the building that Christ is building as his church. We are the building. Is our building built on sand, or is it built on rock? If it's built on sand, it will collapse. It will not withstand the test. Now, I know there are a lot of churches out there that has stood for many years, and it will probably stand for many more years till the Lord comes. And people will say, well, they must be built on the rock because they're still here. And I say, just because they're standing within the world system doesn't mean they're going to withstand the judgment of God. Because to be able to stand in the day of judgment, one is going to have to be found faithful to the service of God's word. Standing firmly on the rock, the foundation that Jesus Christ set up for the church, is paramount to standing in the day of judgment. Keeping Jesus as your Lord, not just your Savior, but your Lord, Master to God, to the end of your head. All authority, only to Him. Eternal standing in the church. Step number three, get clean. The church is to be a place of washing. Church is not to be a social club. It's not to be a place to come and look pretty on Sunday morning so that everybody will see how nice you are and how popular you are. It's not a place to come in hypocrisy, pretending one thing when you're something else. Church is a place to come, prepare yourself to the Lord. It's a place to come, pray. Hear the word, be washed by the Spirit of the Word of God. Step number four.
Be strong and have a good courage.
Be strong and have a good courage. Be strong and have a good courage. Not to fear man or man's opinions or what man can say or do to you. That type of fear comes from a spirit. The purpose of that spirit is to cause one to walk away from God. Not away from God. Have good courage. Believe the word. Follow the word. Do the word. Be doers of the word, not hearers. We have enough out there that go by call ourselves Christians, who walk around in the name of the Lord, who are talkers of the Word of God. And the world looks at them and says, they're hypocrites. The world says, I'm not going to be a Christian. I'm not going to go to church. Churches are full of hypocrites. Well, they are. And if the church is doing its job, the church should be converting those hypocrites. Remember, many of you, one time sat out there and said, I don't want to go to church because it's full of hypocrites. Now, my question is, are you the hypocrite that's now sitting in church that others are talking to? If you are, get cleansed. Get cleansed. Get cleansed. Read a paper the other night, right? I didn't read it. My wife read it. From the minister out of Montana, I guess it was.
Utah.
Utah. Out of Utah. And the guy kind of just sums it up in most churches. I never saw such an example of taking scripture and twisting it, perverting it. And the bottom line that it came down to, none of us are perfect and none of us can be perfect and none of us can ever do it right. So we just kind of do the best we can and fake it. That's what the bottom line came down to. Don't tell anybody when they're doing anything wrong. You might hurt their feelings. Lie to them instead. Tell them what they're doing. Those are not his words, but I'll tell you what. It's exactly what he meant. You got too many preachers back there. And you love people. And if you love God, you're going to tell them. You're going to be honest, truthful. That was what? Step three, be cleansed.
Yep.
Step four. Step five. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I know I'm repeating myself in a lot of areas here. It's good for me. Many times I've heard people say, well, I'm not ready to accept the Lord because I don't understand it all. I'm not ready to try to commit to a church, commit to a body of Christ, or commit to the gospel because I don't understand it. And yet these same people will drive a car with no understanding of how the thing works. The same people will use electricity and they don't understand how it works. Same people will go and use a microwave oven to cook their meal in and have no idea how a microwave is cooked. Foolish, foolish, foolish. You don't have to understand everything about the gospel. You don't have to understand everything about the Bible. You don't have to understand everything about God to put the blessings of God and the call of God together in your heart and walk in it. All you have to know is that God's call. That's all you have to know. And it says, God will take care of us. Lead unto His understanding, not your understanding. That was what? Number what? Five? Number six. Honor the Lord with thy substance. That's the word of thy life. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit. Honor the Lord. Give the Lord the tithes and the offerings. These are holy rites. For thy substance, give to him whatever you have. Honor him. And by tithes, giving it to you. Not as a bribery, as many do. and he tried to bribe God. God cannot be bribed. Bribing God is not honoring God. Honoring. Now we come today to step number 7. And I have prayed over this and prayed over this and prayed over this. And I keep getting one word. I keep getting one word and I say, Lord, that just doesn't make sense the way this whole thing has been coming down this week. Gotta be something else, gotta be something else. And I search the scriptures and I keep coming back to the same thing. Same thing. Love. I will read you in John 15, starting with verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's what it boils down to, church. That's what it all comes down to. Jesus Christ, in the 3-year ministry that he had, shared a perfect example of that love. A perfect example. In that 3-year ministry, he never once counted himself above those in God calling to serve. Yet he knew who he was, and he knew what he came to do. He made himself to be a servant. He ministered to those in need. And he did it through. And then, to polish off the whole thing, he gave his life for those who didn't understand. Didn't even know what he did. That's it for those who wanted him to die. And on the cross, with the people standing around and jeering and making fun and laughing and mocking him for his pain, humiliation, and agony, he looked at the people and said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Jesus understood that the people were doing what they were doing because they were being led by demon spirits. If they really understood, if they really knew what was happening, it would have been a different story. Those people were leading with their own understanding. They didn't understand God's understanding. They didn't understand who was in it. We back up in chapter 15 in the first verse. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purchaseth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. There is no way you or I or anyone else can bear fruit, the fruit of the Lord, unless we're abiding in Jesus. Just like if I went out here, cut a branch off that tree out there, it may look alive for a while, but you watch it, it'll die. It'll be dead. In all respects, that branch is dead for the moment it's done. You cut yourself off from God, you're dead. You cannot live. And yet the only way to stay alive, the only way to be with Jesus Christ, is by keeping his commandments. That's the only way. If you think you can go through life disobeying him and being rebellious and stiff-necked and hard-hearted, doing your own thing, if you think you can do that and be in Jesus Christ, you are highly deceived. You are not resting upon God's understanding, you're resting on your own understanding. You can only remain as part of that vine if we're obedient to the Lord. That's it. So let those say what they will say, and let them preach what they will preach, but I will say this. If we are to follow the Lord, and if we are to be part of him, we must keep his commandments. We must do those things that he says to do. We must bear fruit. Because if we don't bear fruit, we're going to get cut off. And I want to let you know what that fruit is. Because we're not talking about an apple tree producing pomegranates. Every seed after its kind, the Bible says. Every seed after its kind. You plant an apple tree, you get apples. Plant an orange tree, you get oranges. Jesus said he's the vine, true vine. Alright? If he is the true vine, and you are the branches of that true vine, then you are going to produce true vine fruit. Amen? Now, I don't know, but true is one word in that, so I imagine part of the fruit is truth. Part of the word, part of that fruit is the word truth. Which means you will believe truth, you will speak truth, you will do truth. Doesn't mean you will lie and connive, tell stories, whatever you want to call it, they're lies. You will speak the truth. Speak the truth. Part of the truth. Speaking truth. Talk about in the Word of God where it says about the unbelievers speaking lies and hypocrisy. Now, you know, to speak a lie and hypocrisy, what's the hypocrisy? If you're in the world and you're speaking a lie, where's the hypocrisy? He's talking about in the church. He's talking about false prophets and false teachers and false believers in the church speaking lies and hypocrisy. They're hypocrites. They profess to know God and claim to know Jesus Christ, and they lie to one another. What kind of fruit is that? Perverted fruit. Not the truth of fruit. We're going to be part of Jesus. We're going to walk in that love. If we're going to betray that love, that fruit has got to be there. Fruit of love, truth, sanctification, holiness. Be true to God. Man, abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and then gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Be abided in my words, abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The whole key. The whole key. To spiritual blessings, physical blessings, the whole key to walking in the prosperity of Jesus Christ. Is to abide and remain abiding in Jesus Christ. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have to bear fruit. Jesus Christ. Calling yourself a disciple is a citizen. You must bear fruit. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you love me, keep my commandments. Ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We'll read that again. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So it comes down to love. To remain in the vine, to walk as part of the vine, to bring forth fruit to that vine, it's got to be motivated by love. And the love it's got to be motivated by is not a filial love. It's not a love of feelings. It's not a love of feelings to self. Because a filial's love is always a selfish, self-centered love. Self-seeking love. It's the agape love of God. The agape love, the unselfish, the uncentered of self love. It's the love that goes forth to others. And it's a free love. It's an unconditional love. There are no strings attached. There's none of this, I love you if you love me back business. Or I love you if you make me feel good business. I love you because I choose to. See, this is what's wrong with any marriage today. This is what's wrong with so many marriages today. Because each person in the marriage is looking for a feeling. And I said, but you just tell me you're not supposed to have feelings in love and marriage? Yes, of course you are. Of course you are. You can't start there. You can end there, but you can't start there. It's got to start with a decision. It's got to start with an absolute decision. And that decision is that you're going to amend, you're going to love that woman no matter what. Now start, woman, if you're going to love that man no matter what. And you're going to, a woman, you're going to honor that man. And man, you're going to honor God. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. And if it doesn't work that way, so the crash is going to be hard. Now let me ask you a question. If I love God and I honor God, do I trust God? Amen. Wives, beloved husbands, and honor them and trust them. You hear me?
then you're a hypocrite, telling lies and hypocrisy. Truth. Husbands, you love your wife, you're going to love God and honor God. You're going to be trustworthy to your wife. Love. This is the way it works. It's got to start with you and God, and then it's got to go from you and God to you and your spouse, and into your children, and into your brothers and sisters in the church, and then into the rest of the world. That's the way it's got to work. And by that, you will walk in the prosperity and the power and the might and the glory of the Lord. Because when it comes back down to it, it's all his right there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we read, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, you don't have to read much of it yourself, but it's been read so many times, but it's worth reading again. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, and become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That word charity is agape. Love. Love. Do I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love? Agape love of God. I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You can stand in a church and you can preach. You need to come to church every Sunday. You can come every Wednesday. You can come every Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday. You can be there every day. You can preach. You can witness. You can do all kinds of things. And if you don't have that about the love, if you're not motivated by it, walking by it, talking by it, and everything else you do by that, you're nothing. You're just a bunch of noise. That's all you are. Like playing guitar off key with no chord. Just that. Noise is harsh. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I have nothing. A lot of times you base your opinions on yourself and the reality of things. Doesn't matter what you do, if you don't have that love, that godly love, you're not motivated by an unselfish God love. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have no charity, promise. I've known a lot of people in the past who have given large amounts of churches, charitable organizations, because they see how good I am. And yet, it's probably that they're nothing because their motivation is to glorify themselves. Charity suffereth long in his time. Charity endureth not. Do you envy? Do you envy other people what they have? You see somebody who's suffering, do you envy it? Do you envy that? Charity faulteth not itself. And you're constantly doing whatever you think that you can do to make yourself important and get the attention of others. Women especially have a problem with this. Men have problems with it too, so I'm not letting you off the hook and pick it on the women. The women, you've got to be careful. This is a place that's safe. See, you really get to. I see a lot of women. get sick. But their looks, their elected.